Greetings to the crew. This is your nav speaking. It's 2:30 in the morning on the 24th of January. That's Tuesday, and it's the first day of the Matangi shift. I know that some of you are expecting to hear from me with an audio commentary following up the recent crew notes, number 15, and I am indeed right at the verge of making that recording. At the same time, however, something has come up of the utmost importance. There is a rush happening right now, and I don't use that term merely in a metaphorical sense, but also in a literal sense. I've been able to make some shamanic investigations in the last couple of weeks, since January 11th, actually. I'll get back to that date in a moment. And in these 2 weeks, coming on 2 weeks, my investigations have been packed with revelations about the Sophia vision story and about the current situation of the Wisdom Goddess relative to correction. I urge you to continue to use the analogy of 1 second of her time, of Aeonic time, to 108 days of our time. I've said that correction occurs in 10 seconds of her time, which is 1,080 days of our time. And tracking correction by the second, we find that the countdown is, we began in the 10th second, of course, the 10th second, counting down, 10, 9, 8. The 10th second began in March 19th. We reached the 9th second in July 6th of 2011. We entered the 8th second of the countdown on October 24th, 2011. And so we are now in the last fleeting moments of the 8th second, the 7th second of the countdown. The 7th period of 108 days begins on February 8th, in about 2 weeks. I have to say that there is a perceptible, immense and immensely strong, perceptible surge in the dreaming of the divine Sophia in the month of January. Curiously, I began a shamanic retreat on the 11th of January. And around the 19th, I undertook the first session, and then again on the 22nd, a follow-up session. The specific purpose being to track the recapitulation of the Wisdom Goddess as she recalls the initial conditions she set for our experiment. So I'm proud and delighted to report that I was able to do that in my Tertonic manner, by my Tertonic method, which is a very particular method, a scientific method you could call it if you like. The art of divination is perhaps a better term, but this divination is a science and it can be learned. It's a practice that you can master. So I was able to observe and capture, monitor, if you will, the memory of the Wisdom Goddess in real time. That produced a tremendous download of intel, including rich and highly detailed episodes of the Sophia myth. All of which will be coming your way very soon. However, this is kind of an SOS. I hadn't anticipated sending out this recording. But in view of what I've undergone in the last few days, and especially with the follow-up session in this telestic practice, I feel absolutely compelled to reach out to you at this moment. First of all, I want to say, not speaking in a predictive sense, but speaking as the navigator, the propulsion of the earth forward, the subtle supernatural and natural effects of Gaia's self-propulsion are due to be felt in an extremely powerful way from here on out. The engines she uses, that is to say, the internal steam engines, the mysterious geophysical power sources of the planet that she uses for her own navigation, as well as the sails, which would be the electromagnetic field out to the ionosphere. The ionosphere is sort of like a balloon spinnaker to the mother ship. So there's your nautical metaphor again, and it's more than just a metaphor, of course. Use that metaphor, observe it. It is a tool for entering heightened awareness and holding your position in a higher state of awareness. And in the heightened awareness you reach by this unique nautical metaphor, you can actually invite into your mind and senses the real-time perceptions of what's happening on the planet. This, of course, you know, is the foundation of our method. I have to add, though, that in addition to this turbo acceleration of Gaia's propulsion, something else is happening simultaneously, something that I can only describe as the purest onslaught of planetary witchcraft. It is most significant, and certainly not by accident, you'll realize, that I timed this retreat beginning on January 11th, and the key investigation of Sophia's recapitulation to the end of the Mahakali shift, which began on December 25th. So during that last week, when I was in completion with Kali, when we all were, I undertook these investigations. And as usual, I got more than I bargained for and more than I can handle. As I've said before, the sure mark that you are in the game, the sure mark that you're in the practice of planetary tantra, is that the attention you give to the practice will generate more than you can handle. You always know that you're succeeding when you've got more than you can handle. And you could say, paradoxically, that the skill of a tantrika, someone who practices Gayan Tantra, is that you acquire the poise to handle more than you can handle. So I got a lot more than I can handle. And I was brought into the full bore intensity of something coming from Kalima herself, something that burst through the envelope of the earth and erupted out of the Shakti cluster in the last 3 days of her shift. And I call that the rush of the dreaming attention. Now, the dreaming attention, as you know, is the second attention. And the dreaming attention is part of our method. By following the transits of the moon through its apogee, according to the way the apogee shifts through the constellations, we follow the dreaming attention of Sophia herself. So the dreaming attention of Sophia is her consciousness, really, equivalent to our internal radio. You know that you are conscious every day because when you wake up, your mental radio is on. Correct? Now, it's true that the mental radio of a human being carries an awful lot of stations, an awful lot of chatter, and junk emissions, junk transmissions, an awful lot of disinformation, an awful lot of garbage programs, advertising, and an awful lot of white noise. But just because your mental radio picks up all of that doesn't mean that it can't be used to pick up other things, such as telepathy with each other, telepathy with animals, and the telepathic and subliminal connection to the Dakinis of the Shakti cluster, including Vivi herself. You pick that up, you receive those transmissions from the Shakti cluster on the same radio set that you receive advertising jingles and old nostalgic tunes that remind you of your girlfriend in high school or your boyfriend. Ordinary mind is the subliminal mind of the Dakini transmissions. It's the same mind. The Buddha mind and your ordinary mind are the same. The only difference is what you pick up on that mind, what you tune in on that radio set. And so I offer this analogy to give you some idea, some inkling, to the best of my ability, which is, at this point, certainly inadequate, to convey to you the experience of standing in the rush of the dreaming attention. The rush of the dreaming attention is the part of Gaia's overall dreaming that is commanded by Kali. It is a current or channel in the overall dreaming of the wisdom goddess through which the high power of planetary magic is transmitted. So when you stand in that rush, you are a direct recipient of this power, and it comes to you directly in the hara point of your navel. So this is the experience that I locked into over the weekend doing my vigil with the sunrise crescent. So there's a lot to report from my situation on the navigation deck as well as my situation in Andalusia, and in the location on this earth where the signal of planetary tantra was received. That signal is undergoing a massive amplification as I speak. The dreaming attention of Gaia is beginning to engage. Both the operations of the human psyche and the operations, the geophysical and telluric operations of the planet itself in a most spectacular manner. And as this engagement occurs, those of us who want to stay centered and who want to stay in alignment with correction will need to realize the rush of the second attention. Let me see if I can put that in better language for you. As correction escalates, beginning in January 2012, and continues to escalate with no... Let me see if I can and say this in a better way for you, because it's not merely a matter of what you can realize. It is a matter of what you can engage. Now, as escalation happens, as the process of correction escalates without any let-up from now, January 2012, through the entire remaining 7 seconds, as that happens. Those of us who follow correction using the navigation metaphor have an extraordinary opportunity to engage in planetary magic. This opportunity comes from Kali herself because it is Kalika magic. But it is brokered, you could say, by Matangi. So it's most significant that I did my telestic sessions at the completion of the Mahakali shift, and that the turnover to Matangi immediately followed. What I can do in the immediate future are two things. I can explain in precise and clear detail the technicalities, as it were, of the psychotronic technique of planetary magic, the technicalities of the magic and the relation of your practice to the Shakti cluster and to the particular Dakinis and Mahavidyas who support this magic and who provide it for you, provide for you to learn and master it. Secondly, I can give you the ritual of the Mahakali initiation, the full ritual. I introduced this in Kunotes 15 by presenting the Mahakali Yantra, the yonic triangle inside the square. Let me advise you that those comments in those notes are purely introductory, and the description of the three points of the triangle, indicating love, magic, and war, as I discussed in the last interview with Thomas, are also just clues, just inceptive indications, pointing you in the direction of an actual ritual. This ritual is conducted for the purpose of engaging the rush of the dreaming attention. And once you do that, you are in the magic permanently for the rest of your life. So all that is coming up soon, very soon. And you may take my word so far as a kind of preview of things to come. It's the most exciting moment in planetary magic that I have experienced since the divine mania of 2008. And I find now that the intensity of the blaze is growing almost to equal of that which I experienced when I received the term of Gaia Awakening. The difference this time is I'm not alone. And so when the Turton goes into the dance of divine mania, or what is more properly called the demoniac blaze, others also will be drawn into that blaze. This is the beginning of the culmination of our great experiment and the beginning of our real time, real life collaboration with the Divine Sophia as she makes a correction. However, I must segue now to a most urgent matter. You notice that I am titling this recording an SOS to the Gaian crew. The nav is sending you an SOS. I'm sending out the SOS signal across the intercom and the loudspeaker system of the mothership. And I'm calling you to bring all of your attention sharply and totally to one particular topic, one particular challenge. In the telestic session of January 18th, 19th, and 20th, when I tracked the recapitulation of the Wisdom Goddess, I was able to recall, through reading her memory, or to put it better, I was able to detect in her recall her memory of the moment that could be considered the ultimate nightmare of her plunge from the Pleroma. There was a moment very late in the metamorphosis of the earth out of her organic light when something extremely dire happened. I have never spoken of this before. I have never known about it until 4 days ago. But strangely, when I was about 26 or 27 years old, I was shown the secret of this event. I was actually shown it. And I had the occasion last fall to recall that incident in my mystical life. Last fall, you recall that we went through a 3 or 3.5 month stall of the apogee near the navel of the Cetus monster. It was stalled in the belly of the fiend. I don't say beast because a beast is an animal, and I love beasts. I'm a beast. My cats are beasts. The belly of the beast is a Christian slur. The belly of the fiend, the belly of the ghoul. You may recall your own experience during that weird period of time when things seemed rather suspended. There was an awkward and at moments excruciating sense of slow motion, as if we were in a bus going over a cliff, and the front wheels of the bus had gone off the cliff, and the bus was just hanging in very, very slow motion going off the cliff as humanity is tumbling into the maw of Cetus and being devoured and sucked in to the bloated belly of that ghoul monster. And during that time, as I was contemplating it along with you, I had occasion to recall this incident that happened when I was 26 years old. And I realized, oh my goddess, I was shown what I need to know now. I was shown something that I need to remember. And indeed, when I tracked her recall last week, I realized why I had been shown that vision, if you want to call it that. So the urgent matter that is before us now concerns the identity of the Cetus monster as a supernatural power. What that power is exactly has to be revealed in the context of the story. So as I recount the missing chapters of episode 4 and 5, that is due to come forth. Right now, I just want to say that our participation in correction has reached a critical point. We're facing a test of treachery, of archontic treachery, and it is the supreme test of archontic treachery. And just as we in the crew who follow the correction, who observe this practice, face that test, Gaia Sophia faces that supernatural force. You might say that from around the 11th of January 2012, and now ongoing, the wisdom goddess is like someone in their sleep who is dreaming of a nightmare, and the nightmare grows out of a traumatic experience that happened earlier in the life of that person. So there is someone sleeping in a bed. They are having a lucid dream. The dream is a nightmare. And in that nightmare, a monstrous form comes to them. A monstrous form arises up before the dreamer. And the dreamer realizes what this form is, that it is absolutely and utterly real, and that it, that form, that monstrous power, is deeply embedded in the reality and in the physical being of the dreamer. Just like we carry physical trauma from abuse in our bodies, the planetary animal mother carries a trauma deep inside her body. And as she dreamt herself back to the point of the last moment of the materialization of her organic light, the extreme degree to which the organic light could be materialized, as she dreamed herself back to that moment in cosmic history, she recognized what was created at that moment. And that is her worst nightmare. And so the first thing that she has to do is solve the problem of this force. And our role on our side is to do a parallel deed. We are required now, urgently, absolutely urgently, and I call upon your highest attention and the highest concentration of your hearts and minds and the focus of your imagination with unfaltering clarity. Join with me that we do our parallel to what she's facing. On our side, we, in the experiment, have to face the ultimate test of our quantic treachery. And what is that test? That test is brought before the world in the form of the strange sounds that have been manifesting with dramatic and spectacular effects, apparently, since the 11th of January or so. So here goes. What I am teaching you now in the remainder of this talk is the exact nature of that treachery and the way to master it, the way to dispel that treachery. That is the test, that is the challenge before us now. Those of us who would consecrate ourselves to her story and practice the vision that brings us into correction with her. That is the single and supreme test. Let me paraphrase it in this way. The challenge is to prove something. The challenge before us is to prove that those sounds are actually coming from the earth. But better still, let me put the challenge in this language. If those sounds are coming from the earth, if they are coming from the planetary animal mother, if they are indicative of the throes she undergoes in correction, how can it be proven? So repeat this phrase in your own minds. Repeat it out loud. Say it out loud as you talk to each other. If these strange sounds, reportedly or allegedly heard around the world, are coming from planetary animal mother due to the process of correction, how can it be proven to be so? How can it be proven that they are not a hoax or that they are not produced by some human-made technology, such as HARP technology, an alternative use of directed energy technology, or something along those lines? In other words, a military operation. How can it be proven that that is not so? In Kronos 15, I wrote, "These sounds that broke out dramatically in January are a combination of external stress on the mother ship as she undertakes her own navigation and internal stress on the hulk of the planetary vessel erupting from within the core. You may note that it appears to be ambiguous as to the origin of these sounds. Observers, or those alleged to be observers, have reported that it's impossible to tell if they're coming from the sky or from the earth. So I've suggested that they're coming from both, that some of them would be, to use a nautical analogy, like the buckling and booming and groaning of the bulkheads of a ship as it heads into high seas. And if it's a sail ship, some of the noise would come from the wind and the screaming in the rigging, which is the analogy to the noise that is happening in the electromagnetic field of the Earth right out to the ionosphere due to the tremendous upheavals the Earth is now undergoing. So there's a picture to start with. But I ask you to look at this picture and to look at the so-called evidence so far with close scrutiny, and to be rigorous and not gullible, and not fall for any make-believe or hoaxing. In the remainder of this talk, I'd like to offer you my observations about the phenomenon, but I can't, because I haven't experienced the phenomenon itself. Like most of the other millions of people around the world, and I would presume by now it would be millions, I have not experienced the phenomenon, but I have listened to recordings on YouTube clips and internet sites. Recordings. So the sound has been recorded. But the fact that a recorded sound can be heard on a YouTube clip does not mean that that sound actually happened in nature. I refer you to the Ukrainian clip, the 10-minute clip, reported in what seems to have been an apartment complex in the Ukraine, looking out from an upper story over the balcony down to the central plaza of the housing complex, where there are a few people walking around. And you hear the noise as a person who is invisible is making some comments, presumably standing in the doorway of the terrace of the balcony, listening to the noise outside. But it could very easily be the case that the noise that is recorded in the Ukrainian clip is being broadcast from within that apartment, or has been added as an audio track to the visual filming of the view from the balcony. Very, very easy to do that. If you go to YouTube and search for strange sounds debunked, you will in fact find at least one clip, probably others, that show that a number of the clips, a number of the dozens or perhaps hundreds of clips that are now circulating, have actually taken the audio track from the Ukrainian clip and superimposed it over different footage. This can be proven. So for one thing, we know that there is a hoaxing process going on with this phenomenon. Even if the phenomenon is a genuine Gaian and geophysical event, and that remains to be proven, it is already obvious that the genuine event is being obscured by hoaxes. So all of those clips of other places of the world, which can detectably be shown to carry the audio track of the Ukrainian clip, have to be dismissed as hoaxes. Unfortunately, the tendency to hoax and the delight in fooling people is a temptation of human nature. And it may be a far worse temptation than it initially appears to be. Children like to fool each other. Parents like to fool children. Children like to fool parents. People on the internet like to fool the world. They like to fool people that they don't even know by putting hoaxes and spoofs on the internet and then seeing what the comments are, sucking people in and getting off on how many hits they get. This is, unfortunately, a fact of human nature. Now, in addition to that obvious and undeniable point, I would add a second point of caution. These are my observations, folks. Don't take them for gospel. Make your own observations and compare them to mine, and see where it gets you. As I look at a number of these recordings, particularly YouTube clips, posted from around the world, I notice something about them that catches my attention and makes me extremely suspicious. I notice that there is something missing in all of these apparent reports of the evidence of a real phenomenon. And what is missing in these reports, these alleged reports, I guess I should say, is the presence of eyewitnesses. Now, if you look closely at the Ukrainian clip, you'll see that there are three people walking in the square below, and they don't seem to notice any sound at all. The camera moves down upon a woman with a baby carriage, and she turns her head back, and it appears that she turns her head back at moments when the sound surges and fades away. So you could say that this woman pushing the baby carriage is an eyewitness on the ground, but she could as well be hearing the noise that's coming from the window of the apartment above her. Although there are countless clips on the internet and they are going viral and multiplying as I speak, I have yet to see one clip of a conversation with a person who says that they actually were standing outside in front of their house and heard these sounds. You would expect, if this phenomena is real and if it is as massive and impressive and overwhelming and spooky, if you will, although I warn you not to be afraid, if that is all true, then wouldn't there be clips on the internet of people telling you, I was walking my dog in the woods and I noticed my dog was acting strange, and then this was on this day at this time, and then I heard these sounds, and then later I went and talked to the man at the local gas station and he heard them. Wouldn't you expect to hear eyewitness reports on the ground? But to my knowledge, there are so far no such eyewitness reports. Now, of course, again, we have to be super cautious. We know that if such eyewitness reports did occur of people on the ground telling you what they saw and heard, they could also be faked. But at least it would be evidence worth considering before it was dismissed as a hoax. That evidence is missing. The only evidence we have is the evidence of what are alleged to be recordings. And usually the people who make these recordings are standing behind the camera. You don't see them. And you don't see them go out into the street and talk to any other people walking up and down in the street or in the courtyard of their house or in the space between the massive apartment buildings of a housing complex, and with a microphone interviewing random people and saying, "Do you hear that? What do you hear? Talk to the camera, tell us." No evidence of this sort has as yet appeared, as far as I know. So bear that in mind. I find that to be extremely suspicious. Now I come to the next point of caution, the next point of concern. And these points of concern are practices that you must undertake in your own mind as if you are a detective investigating a crime. You must rigorously assess the evidence. And facing the archontic trickery of this phenomenon requires a rigorous and sober attitude. Don't speculate. Don't go off into a fantasy. Let's look closely at the evidence. And if some of the evidence is false, faked, and planted, let's get that evidence out of the way in the first stage of this test. And then with that evidence out of the way, we can go deeper toward the phenomenon. We can approach it in a more intimate way, and we can perhaps find out if it is a genuine expression of the Guyan process of correction. A couple of theories, if you want to call them that, are circulating on the internet, which are worth your attention. The first one is that this is all a marketing hoax, and that it is something that is being done by people who are setting up the public for a coming movie about extraterrestrial intervention or some sort of War of the Worlds scenario. In fact, there is a close resemblance between the sounds on these clips and the sounds that occur in the War of the Worlds science fiction movies. So it's possible that it's a Hollywood scam. It's been done before. How would that Hollywood scam be accomplished? Well, it wouldn't require actually making the sounds happen publicly. Do these sounds actually happen publicly? Do they actually happen over Budapest or in Belgium? And if they do happen in a small town in Belgium, as one clip shows, probably not too far from where I was living, then how come when the camera goes down into the street from the second or third story window, you don't see people stopping in the street and looking at each other and looking up at the sky? You don't see eyewitnesses or ear witnesses on the ground. So, if it is a Hollywood scam to set up the public and bait them for some kind of science fiction movie, then it could be accomplished without actually requiring the technology to make these sounds happen. In reality, it would be enough to distribute YouTube clips of recordings of the sounds in such a way that those clips went viral. You see? Okay, that's one possibility. Possibility is that there are no such sounds at all. I myself haven't heard them. The first time any one of you on the crew yourself hears these sounds, you must report it immediately. But so far I haven't heard these sounds, and no one I know has heard them. All I've heard is recordings, and the recording is easily faked. Now there's another consideration, and this is a theory that is gaining wide circulation on the internet, and a theory that merits a lot of credence and has a very deep background behind it. Some people are proposing that these sounds are produced as part of a military black ops operation. And that recalls, of course, the Taoist hum of many years ago in Santa Fe, which was never explained scientifically, but was considered by many people to be a result of ELF wave experimentations of the military around the Los Alamos area and so forth. If that was so, of course, it could never have been disclosed to the public, and that would explain perhaps why the Tao Sum, which stopped a number of years ago, was never, although it was investigated by many people, never led to a satisfactory explanation. Other examples of the hum which were heard in Canada and elsewhere have been closely associated with military installations. So it's very possible that these sounds are either the result of some bizarre military DEW acoustic technology that's being tested, or they could be a dry run for a massive event to come. They could be the first soundings, the first probes into the collective mind of the use of an acoustical hallucinatory device by the military to pull off some kind of grandiose psyops. So they could be, in short, the acoustical component of a kind of blue beam type false flag ET invasion scenario. And we know that this false flag invasion scenario, I shouldn't say we know, but many people are, well-informed people, are convinced that the powers that control the directed energy weapons, the powers that control HARP and other kinds of secret advanced technology of a science fiction nature, that these insane people are cooking up some kind of massive planetary hallucination scenario, which in certain respects could be considered to be the ultimate archontic deception. So it's possible that these sounds are not coming from Gaia. They are not the moans and the grinding of teeth and the clawing at the ground that she makes as she tosses and turns in her nightmare. It could be that they have nothing to do with her at all, and that they are the precursors of an event in the planning. So I urge you all to be sober and steady-minded and clear-minded. Don't fall for hoaxing. Don't go into wishful thinking. Interactive magic with Gaia is not about wishful thinking, my friends. It's not a game of pretending. And if we are indeed going to discover the true nature of these sounds, which may well continue without any let-up into the future, we have to first look at the possibility of hoaxes and military operations, military psyops, or the combination of the two. You know, if the psychotic monsters who are have a vision for a massive hallucinatory event on Earth pull it off, that would be an act of ultimate treachery. So if they are using these sounds, if they are producing these sounds and using these sounds to lead humanity into that act of treachery, we, as members of the crew who follow Gaia in her correction, must be the first to cut through and see through that treachery and to dispel it. So that is why I'm taking time and care in order to lay out the cautionary steps required as we consider this phenomenon. Now, as I conclude this recording, I have two things to say. First, let me impress on your minds in the most forceful manner that the battle taking place on this planet, the war that you would engage in as a Kalika warrior, is a magical war. Less visible is absolutely correct. All war is magical war. And so the war on this planet is not between light and dark. In fact, darkness is a good thing, and I have to really correct that syntax. Darkness is a good thing. It's not darkness that is evil. There are no dark powers. This is a fantasy of the reflex psychology of Christianity. And it comes out of a psychology of fear. There are no dark powers. It is true that people do things in the dark, that is to say, in secrecy and under cover of deception. And that is a huge problem on this planet. But just because you use the metaphor of things done in the dark, you cannot condemn the darkness. It's the things that are done in the dark you must condemn, not the darkness itself. So the battle is not between light and darkness. We have both. We love both. I'm a creature of darkness. I love darkness. Kali is black. Her magic is black magic, black diamond magic. But the war on this planet is between false magic and true magic. It's between pretending magic, like Harry Potter, and real magic, like the Shakti cluster. That is the war on this planet. And in order to understand the strategy, the winning strategy to enter that war, there is one single thing that you need to know. There is one single lesson, one single truth that you need to inscribe in your mind and in your conscience. You need to know that the false magic either represses the true magic, or if it cannot repress it, it mimics it. That is the tactic of the false magic and all those who are instruments of the false magic. This is Kali talking now, giving you the warrior's savvy. And the warriors of Kali know the tactics of the adversary. All those psychotics and psychopaths and sick, demented, delusional human beings who are consciously or unconsciously, willingly or unwillingly, instruments of the false magic use the same tactic. They try to repress the true magic, and if they cannot repress it, they mimic it so that people at large are unable to tell the difference between the hoaxed form of the true magic and its genuine form. Get me? Get how I'm getting to the point here? Not easy to do, because I'm standing in a room all by myself saying these words. And as I've said before, I'm not entirely comfortable with that form of delivery. Nonetheless, let's consider those two tactics. Think about this and talk about this among yourselves. I want you to come up with descriptions from your observation of culture, of the media, of government, of the world around us, and from your own personal life, how the false magic seeks to repress the true magic. I'll give you one example. The media, Hollywood, the movies, entertainment, the music business. Look at the music business. Look at Lady Gaga. Look at all these contrived and manipulated people who are put on the stage of the entertainment world in order to manipulate other people. And rather than deliver to them real magic, they repress the real magic that is present in the human psyche and in the human heart. And they flood it and overwhelm it with false magic. Look at Harry Potter. I don't know if J.K. Rowling, or whatever her name is, was an agent of the Vatican, but I very, very much suspect that she was. She is a devout Catholic. And Harry Potter has done more to the minds and imaginations of young people to repress true magic than almost anything I can think of in my lifetime. Harry Potter and the Harry Potter stories are a crime against humanity. They are a crime and an assault against the true imagination of our species. And that's what makes J.K. Rowling so rich. So that's just an example that flashes into my mind of how the false magic represses the true magic. But it doesn't always work, because the power of the true magic is so immense. The power of the true magic is so intrinsic to that luminous child. It is so intrinsic to the heart and mind and playful innocence of every single one of you that it cannot be repressed. And so when the true magic and our ability to perform true magic and to respond to it and celebrate it and enjoy it and play with it and play with power, when that erupts and cannot be repressed, the practitioners of false magic resort to a second tactic. And that tactic is that they mimic the true magic. And they create a confusion in the collective mind. This is warrior savvy coming from Kali herself, as it came to me from her. Reflect on this. Reflect on this and take it in to the core of your mind and ground it in your conscience, because we now face a tremendous challenge at exactly the moment that Sophia herself faces the greatest challenge of correction. The core of her nightmare. And it is not the archons as such. And it is not the interspecies predators. But it is a third factor. And this is the true identity of the Cetus monster. So tune your minds and attention to this closely. And note that we are coming up in just under a week on an apogee surge. On the 30th of January, the moon transits its apogee in 6 degrees of Taurus, 3 degrees removed from Jupiter, which is in 3 degrees of Taurus, and has begun to advance again past the head of Cetus, the satanic mask of the Cetus monster. I ask you to join with me to hold your attention on this challenge and bring the tension of that awareness, bring the tension of it to this moment, January 30th, that we reach this moment together in the same contemplation, in the same exercise of dreaming attention, the second attention. In the spring of 2012, the ultimate threat to the divine experiment is revealed, not only to us on the crew, but to the whole of humanity, those who can take it, those who can face it. And it is being revealed in many ways through incidents and events that you can see in the collective life and in the media. And as you do so, remember above all two things. By holding this awareness, by pursuing this exercise, by taking the responsibility that you are going to look at the ultimate archontic treachery on this planet, and you're going to see through it and get to the other side of it, and you're going to do that at the same moment that Sophia herself faces the problem in her own way and in her own terms. Now consider the second tactic of those psychotic monsters who would perpetrate the false magic across this planet. If they cannot repress the true magic, they will mimic and imitate it. Based on that Kalika message, turn your minds to this phenomena of strange sounds heard around the world. I propose to you that in these strange sounds, in this phenomenon, two things are happening at once. One is that there is a genuine, verifiable upsurge of telluric energy. There is a genuine Gaian source to this phenomenon. I assert that to be so. And I assert that this phenomenon of strange sounds is the evidence and manifestation of the eruption out of the living body of the earth of a wave of supernatural power and magic being offered to the human species for its own correction. And that wave is immense, spectacular, and absolutely irresistible and irrepressible. And so, there is something happening right now on this planet in the real magic of Gaia Sophia that cannot be repressed. The repression is over. The repression is finished in the year 2012. But how do the predatory powers who use the false magic, the make-believe magic, respond to that which they cannot repress? They mimic it. They imitate it to fool people. And see how easily that tactic would work. If it can be proven in a number of cases that these clips are hoaxed, that no sound actually occurred in the real world, that it was only produced by audio recording devices, by transmitting devices, that the audio tracks were faked and presented as if they were recording a sound that did in fact not occur. How easy it is to do this. Or beyond that, how easy it is to attribute the sounds saying that they are happening in the atmosphere to military operations and to the sinister technology of directed energy, HARP, ELF, and all that jazz. How easy it is for what is real to be faked. I've said before that the triumph of the archonic powers would be the moment when a human being cannot tell plastic from pearl. We have been at that point for quite a while now in many aspects of life and culture and science and education. But the ultimate treachery of the archonic powers, which is only possible because human beings enact it for the archons. It's not done by the archons themselves, so we can't blame it on them. Their ultimate treachery has yet to be accomplished. And these sounds announce the moment when it might be accomplished, but also the moment when it might be dispelled and overthrown once and for all. So I ask you all to dwell very closely on these matters, to make these considerations along with me, and to hold your attention as one force, as one gaze, toward the moment of January 30th, when there is more to be revealed. Thank you, and safe passage to all in these troubled and magnificent times.